You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome back to Life of an Accounting Droid. I'm your host, as always, Neil, bringing you episode number 16, Purchasing Power. So, this week was a bit slow as far as news and things like that. A couple of interesting bits of things happened. No major real releases except for a new Samsung phone, some updates and things like that. So, I will jump right into it. There will be an app review for one of the bits of news that came out. I didn't have a chance to mess around with it too much until... right around the time of the recording, I was able to read up more on it, what it can do, can't do, and all of that. So look out for that coming soon. But I will still talk about some of the new features if you are on one of the later versions of Android, so look out for that. But other than that, that's about it. So with that, I will jump into this week's episode. So a bit of explanation about this week's theme, purchasing power. It basically covers, in the accounting and finance world, the value of a currency defined by how much goods and services the currency can buy. So, for example, a dollar today does not necessarily mean you can buy the same amount of goods and services tomorrow or yesterday, and then even over different periods of time or different moments in time. So, those fluctuations are encompassed by the purchasing power of any given currency, and that's not just in the United States, that's all around the world. This can also be defined in a different way. So assuming all other factors are held equal, so production output, labor, and things like that, inflation will reduce the amount of goods and services that can be bought over time. So as I mentioned, for example, let's say a dollar today buys you a soda. A dollar tomorrow, or let's say a dollar today will buy you a 20-ounce soda. A dollar tomorrow will not necessarily buy you the same amount. Tomorrow might be 19 ounces, and in a year it can be, for example, 2 ounces. But that is, of course, all other factors being equal. So, assuming the same amount of output, the same cost of your inputs that go into it, so your sugars and dyes and flavors and waters, carbonation and all of that, labor factors, so you have the same number of people working in your factories and plants and back in administrative duties and all of that. So purchasing power basically aims to define that, and a similar thing happens in the finance world. So if you have a dollar to purchase a certain amount of stocks and bonds and things like that, the same dollar will not buy the same amount in a year, 5 years, 30 years, and all of that. And then even going back in time, so if you go back 5 years, the same dollar will not have bought you the same amount of goods. So when you look at purchasing power and you're wondering why different products aim for different things or can buy you different things, that's kind of what accountants and financial analysts and business analysts and all of that aim to look at and to help define, so you know exactly what you're getting for those goods and services. So with that in mind, I'll jump into this week's news. So basically and also when you're looking at updates and things like that, if you're still worth looking into it, or if you think you kind of want to buy what you think will get you the most value for your money. So I know, for example, I often do that. Will a certain app or service or movie or anything like that, is it worth whatever price is being offered? And then just consider that factor as one of those means of getting that good or service. So to start it off with some Android news, the Vudu app was updated this week to now support playing 1080p videos. So if you want that jump from 720 to 1080p, then you have that option now as well. For those of you who use Hangouts for your text messaging needs, look out for version 5.0 that's rolling out soon. It adds things like no lag for sending and loading messages, so the performance should be improved. GIF support, or GIF, however you should pronounce it. And a new splash screen along the lines of how you may see splash screens for things like Drive and YouTube and things like that. For those of you who upload your videos to YouTube, its thumbnail generator got an back-end update to now better pick thumbnails. Essentially, what it will do a lot better is pick a thumbnail based on the best quality part of the video, so it'll look at what the highest resolution available image in that video is and use that, so you kind of put your best foot forward when you're publishing your videos. The app that I didn't have a chance to look into until late in the week, but it got a few new features, is Greenify. So it now adds an experimental feature slash update to auto-enable Doze for Android version 6 Marshmallow. It's a new feature that's part of Android 6 to better manage its sleep state when it's not charging. So essentially, as a quick update to Doze on a side tangent, when you have on your Android 6 device, when your device has been sitting not plugged in, and it goes to sleep for a certain amount of time, then it'll automatically disable all non-essential background services. That will basically, if it's not related to UI and device management, it'll shut everything off. But it does require to be inactive for a certain amount of time and not plugged in. If you're plugged in, it doesn't really make too much of a difference. But when you install Greenify, what this experimental update does is allow you to turn off specific apps automatically when your screen turns off, no matter whether it's in Doze mode or not. So basically, once you set that app, it'll automatically shut it down, put it into a hibernation mode, and you should see improved performance and battery management that way as well. At the moment, it does not require root to use Greenify with and extend the capabilities of Doze, but it does seem to require specific ADB commands to enable. So it is in early stages, so if you're not too comfortable, I'm sure coming soon it'll be auto or not require those extra commands to enable, but look out for that in case you want to try it out. I am trying it right now on my Android 4.4 KitKat device, so basically my Kindle Fire running CyanogenMod 11. So over the coming few days or so, you'll see the video review of that and my thoughts on how well or not well it performs, but preliminary looks at it seems like it is performing very well. Moving on though, CloudReady is a new service slash installable feature that allows you to install Chrome OS on any computer made within approximately past 8 years or so. So essentially what you'll do is install CloudReady to a USB stick and then you'll be able to install it on any later model laptop. If once you start getting into the older or laptops made that are longer than 8 years ago, it kind of will become hit or miss. But visiting the CloudReady website will let you see what the system requirements are, what kind of hardware you may need, and what it supports, so you kind of know what you're kind of getting into in order to do this. So if you kind of want to revive your laptop that you're not using anymore, this may be the way to go. Or if you plan to give it as a gift and just want a laptop to give to somebody, this is also an option. For those of you who use the LG G4, they announced this week that the Android 6 Marshmallow update for the G4 will start rolling out within the next week or so. So starting in the coming week, you should see that update. For those of you who run Android 5 and above and use YouTube Gaming to play or you play games on your device and want to live stream your games, YouTube Gaming got its update to now have that capability. So look out for that. If you're wondering why it's Android 5 and above, it is a feature that was recently, or it's part of a feature that's part of Android 5 and above that lets you do screen recording and screencasting. For prior versions of Android, you do need to root your device, so I'm not sure if any apps at the moment will do the live streaming part of it, but you can do screen recording on Android 4.4 and prior if you have a rooted device. But if you don't want to go through that, be sure to upgrade to Android 5 or above if you can. In other Chrome OS news, it's getting an update to now have updated Wi-Fi scan or an updated Wi-Fi scan indicator, an updated gallery to better follow material design, and enable data saver while on a metered connection. So, kind of a better way to monitor that. But the other, or actually, also has improved USB-C charge settings and in a improved CPU usage for Hangouts if you have an Intel-based Chrome OS device. But you'll also now be able to search the drive files within the launcher in case you're wondering why that wasn't available before, but you should see that in the coming update. So look out for that update in the coming weeks for your Chrome OS device. And finally, the VLC app is getting an update, or should have already gotten an update, to now have a more material design UI, so it should look a little bit smoother and better. Maybe not completely modern, but it should flow a little bit better. And have improved internal decoding, so videos and audio should play a lot better. And finally, it will have support for 4K videos, so in case you do have 4K videos to watch, then that is now an option. But that is all for that, so with that, I'll jump into the other tech news for this week. So to start it off, for those of you who use Firefox, they announced that they will stop supporting plugins except for Flash by the end of 2016, just to enable or just to have that performance in general I guess performance, or only performance updates overall, and not have that overhead as part of the browser. So look out for that. So in case you're wondering, or in case by the end of 2016 you wonder why there's no more plugin support, that is why. TuneIn Premium is made a deal to now be able to stream play-by-play stations for the NFL. So this update should be available for all platforms, but it does require a premium plan in order to use. Facebook and WhatsApp got updates this week for iOS and now start supporting 3D Touch, so look out for those updates. Yandex made a deal with Microsoft and now be the default search engine in Russia for the Microsoft Edge and Internet Explorer browsers, so that should be, in case you prefer a Yandex over Bing, then look out for that. Samsung this week released the all new Samsung Z3. It's a 5-inch device that runs Tizen OS version 2.4, so look out for that. It has a 1.3 GHz quad-core processor, 1 GB of RAM, an 8 megapixel rear camera, and a 5 megapixel front camera, so pretty strong mid-range device. And it's going to be available at the moment in India for approximately $130 US. So I don't know about other release worldwide, but at the moment it will be available in India. Google Translate got an update this week for the iPad and iPhone to now support multitasking and instant camera translation. I believe the instant camera translation also rolled out for Android as well, but the biggest update here is for multitasking. Pandora got its update this week to now support CarPlay, so in case you do use CarPlay, that is now available. The Straw app is getting an update to now be able to create custom URLs on the go for your shortened URLs. So I saw this update for iOS starting with Windows Phone, but also coming for Android and iOS, so look out for that. So essentially, rather than having a random set of characters, if you want to particularly label or specifically labeled a custom URL for your shortened URL, that can now be made available. Yahoo Mail got a big update this week to now support AOL Mail, Hotmail, and Outlook. I didn't see anything for Gmail yet, but basically the biggest feature is that they're doing away with passwords by generating a unique key for login via the Yahoo account key. So in case you're wondering about that update, look out for that. And finally, XDA announced that they're going to start supporting / recommending dev host for their file upload server. Basically, there was a lack of conclusion or support they can come up with due to issues with how the ads were being handled, confusing download buttons, whether it was the actual download or in-app download button, as well as flyby malware attack. So basically at the moment they're recommending using other file hosting sites until they can form a new partnership to recommend somebody else. So sites like Android File Host, Google Drive, Outlook, OneDrive, or sorry, not Outlook, but OneDrive, and things like that. So in case you're wondering about that transition, they're slowly phasing away from DevHost to other sites. But that is actually all for the news for this week. So after the short break, I'll jump into the entertainment portion, which is going to be what I watched, a couple of show reviews, and the Star Wars profile. Life of an Accounting Droid is brought to you by you, because you can now help and support the show in three awesome and excellent ways. The first is by simply visiting patreon.com/patelN01 and check out some of the great milestone goals and rewards you get by simply donating as much as you're able, be it $1, $5, $20, whatever you feel comfortable with, to help the show expand in ways like adding more posts to the feed, an Android app, and removing ads, that sort of thing. So definitely check it out. That's patreon.com/patelN01. You can also get some great deals and discounts by visiting geek-io.net/support. You can get discounts on Tweaked Audio headphones, so you get some great audio while you listen to podcasts, movies, music, whatever have you. Or even by getting a discount on great security software provided by ProXPN. So definitely check that out. It's definitely worth your while, especially if you're on the geeky, nerdy side of things. Especially if you want to show that fandom and geekiness by wearing a t-shirt provided by T-Fury. So that's geek-io.net/support. Now, finally, let's say you love this show, you want to hear more and listen to more shows like it, you can visit patreon.com/geekio or visit geek-io.net and check out more shows like this and help support the network, help it expand and grow, help us host, do more and provide you with more and continued great content. That's patreon.com/geekio. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show. And welcome back to the episode, everybody. So, this week we now have quite a bit of shows, or at least I have quite a bit of shows to watch. So, the list is, I want to say ever expanding, but we should be at about the highest point of the shows going on at the same time, at least until their individual seasons end. But I did have a chance to watch quite a few shows this week. I've finished Firefly, so I'll get into that. Star Wars Rebels started up, so I'll jump into that. I really didn't have much time to review an app for this week or a service or feature or anything like that. I know that Dropbox recently started rolling out their Google Drive competitor called Paper, so if I get that invitation, then I'll probably do that for next week, but it depends on when I get that. But other than that, not too much. I did mess around a little bit with theming my phone a little bit to have it look more like an Android 5 Lollipop. But it is more on the high extreme end and not much for mass use. I mean, it could be done, but it does require doing things like rooting your device and installing a couple of modules. So overall, the process is pretty straightforward, but it might not be for everybody. And then with various bugs and issues that can arise, it's not necessarily something that I wanted to cover. So with that, I'll jump into one bit of rumor for the news. That's about it, and then I'll get through the what I watched, movie review, a TV show review, and the Star Wars profile. So while I'm not big on doing rumors in general, a rumor did circulate later in the week that a new Star Wars The Force Awakens trailer is set to release on Monday, October 19th. So we'll see if that happens. And then along with that, pre-sale tickets will start to go live. So we'll see if that happens or if we at least get a trailer. I know a lot of people, including myself, are looking for another one. So we'll see what happens. I mean, even if another trailer comes out sometime next week, that'll be great too, but I'll look out for that on Monday. As far as what I watched for the week, I did have a chance to finish watching season one of Firefly, basically the only season out there. So that included episode 11, Trash, episode 12, The Message, episode 13, Heart of Gold, and episode 14, Objects in Space. So overall, I actually enjoyed the show. I liked how it ended. I know a rumor started circulating again that the cast is definitely in to do another season, so we'll see if we can get, or if even the writers or directors and anyone can get it to come out again. I know people want it to release on Netflix, so anything we'll do. I do kind of like, I did like how it ended, but I also kind of want to know more about River's backstory, as far as more about what they did in school, more of her and her brother's growing upbringing. But basically more along the lines of what happened in the hospital, and maybe more interactions with the Alliance, or maybe even more stories on the side of the Alliance. So basically it left me wanting more. I didn't have a chance to watch the movie yet, so maybe I'll watch that in the coming weeks or so when I have a chance. But overall, the season is worth watching. The only issue, downside, kind of negative thing that I found was that in all the exploration and space planets and colonizations and all that, there was a very noticeable lack of aliens. It was all basically humans. So I was kind of wondering where they were going with that. Maybe they wanted to introduce that more in future seasons or something, or something that they didn't have a chance to develop. But that was kind of something that bothered me. So even if there are more seasons, that would be the other thing for me to see, especially if with all the space exploration and all of that, maybe they carved out their part of space by eliminating or having aliens move to other regions, and they colonize only those planets that were habitable for humans. So I don't know. That's kind of something that I missed and wish there was a little bit more of. Otherwise, I actually also started watching American Horror Story Season 4, I believe, Freak Show. So I had a chance to watch episode episodes 1 and 2. So episode 1 was Monsters Among Us, and episode 2, Massacres and Matinees. And then I actually just finished watching episode 3, Edward Mordrake Part 1. So I'm actually getting into it. It's a little bit slower than I expected, especially compared to the first 3 seasons. So either it's wearing off on me, or maybe it is just a different pacing than the first 3 seasons. I know for sure episode 3 was picked it up a little bit more. So once I get more into episode 4, I'll see how well it picks up a little bit. But overall, so far, it's worth watching. The graphics are actually pretty good as far as how they're presenting the various circus acts. So definitely worth a watch if you're into American Horror Story. As far as more newer shows or shows that are going on for the week, I had a chance to watch Gotham Season 2, Episode 4, Strike Force. So without revealing the new character introduced for this in this episode, the idea behind the episode was good. We now have Detective Gordon, who has a new boss that is thinks along the lines he does and gives him more responsibilities with the task force too. Bring criminals to justice, and his issues and personal dilemmas with that, especially with his what he did as a favor for the Penguin, and then also the Penguin's issues with protecting his mother and helping out Gallivant. So definitely an episode worth watching. This season is actually continuing to impress me, and I actually can't wait to see more. I also had a chance to watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 3, Episode 3, A Wanted Inhuman. So it has a chance to follow Skye's or Daisy's friend from the retreat that she was at for a while. It wasn't an issue, but it was more along the lines of the story actually gave way to Coulson teaming up with the leader of the ACTU. I might have gotten those letters out of order, but they're actually more of pursuing the other Inhuman, the Porcupine guy, who was in the hospital. So we'll see where they go with that storyline. If the preview for next week's episode is any indication, we're gonna see more of his backstory and what he's been up to and why he's doing what he's doing. This week, Star Wars Rebels Season 2 premiered. So it was actually episode 1 or 2, depending on the guide. The Siege of Lothal is considered episode 1, but I wasn't entirely sure. But in any case, the premiere for the season is titled The Lost Commanders. So we actually see the fate of some of the commanders from the Clone Wars time frame. And the meetings and interactions. The fact that Ezra trusts them, but Kanan does not. So we'll see how that storyline progresses and what becomes of the Empire finding out where they are. And then finally, we ran out the week with Heroes Reborn Season 1, Episode 5, The Lion's Den. So just more story progression. I'm still hit or miss. From a personal note, I'm enjoying it, but we'll see kind of how they round out the season, and I'm sure I'll leave wanting more, but for me, Hero is, of course, the one person I want to see more of, just because he was one of my favorite characters in the original series. So with that, I will jump into the film review for this week, and that is The Martian. So I didn't have a chance to watch it the weekend it came out because I was out of town, but now that I was back, I had a chance to watch it. And overall, I was pretty impressed. There were a couple of points that kind of bothered me, but overall, it is worth watching. So the movie released in the United States on October 2nd, 2015, with a runtime of 144 minutes. A summary of the movie, in case you're not too sure about it, is that during a manned mission to Mars, astronaut Mark Watney is presumed dead after a fierce storm and is left behind by his crew, but Watney has survived and finds himself stranded and alone on the hostile planet. With only meager supplies, he must draw upon his ingenuity, wit, and spirit to subsist and find a way to signal to Earth that he is alive. The movie was directed by Ridley Scott. He's otherwise known for Blade Runner, Alien, Prometheus, and American Gangster. So if you enjoyed any of those movies, you know he is good at presenting the drama and story in a movie. Overall, though, it's getting a, or at least last check, is getting an IMDb rating of about 83%. On Rotten Tomatoes, is getting a 93% critic score and a 94% audience score. So overall, everyone's enjoying it and finding it very, very good. I was actually already considering to read the book, but I wouldn't have finished in time to watch the movie. So I decided to watch the movie anyways. And now I really want to watch the book, so it is on my list of books to read. Or I'm 99% sure I added it to my list of books to read. If not, I'll make sure I add it. But the movie was done very well. I enjoyed the drama and tense scenes. I think Matt Damon's acting is what really did it. I mean, granted, it was hard to tell how long he had been on there, aside from the fact they were telling you what day of the, or how many days he'd been there, so it was a good indicator that he was there a long time. Otherwise, it would have been, you know, he's been there for a couple of weeks and that's it. But spending that, the only downs, well, I guess in the end, I mean, you could tell that he was getting tired of the loneliness and boredom, but, or not boredom, but just getting fatigued from being alone. But it was a saving grace that he was able to speak with NASA and the other astronauts on the ship, so at least he knew he wasn't alone and they knew he was still alive. But as far as my overall thoughts of the movie, the only thing that I, or one of the main things that I found missing, was the buildup of public support. To me, it seemed like it came in a little bit too late, so there wasn't enough time to hear more about people wanting to bring him home, the delay in hearing, finding out that he was alive. They had their press conferences, but it didn't seem like there was any indication that the public really wanted him to come home or hear more about it. It seemed like only the employees at NASA really wanted him to come home and nobody else. So that kind of bugged me. I was glad that they did bring that in a little bit more and have the overview of everyone around the planet wanting him to come home safely. But I thought they could have added maybe, you know, 5 or 10 minutes extra scattered throughout the movie to indicate, or at least in the second half of the movie, to have more of that build up. I actually did it, or the one thing I did really like about the movie was that Mark Watley's growing ability to grow food on Mars seemed like the equivalent to discovering fire. So it was actually, I felt for him at the time that, okay, well, it was pretty good that, or it was awesome that he was able to, when he realized that he was able to grow the potatoes in his self-made garden in the other living area. So it was good that it worked, and I was glad that for the time being that it worked out well enough for that he could have a sustenance for the foreseeable future. The other thing that I actually really liked was that they presented the only time I can recollect that slingshotting around the Earth looked and sounded like a plausible idea. So the idea to get the astronauts to go back to Mars and save time and fuel was to slingshot around Earth, pick up the additional supplies, and then go back. So while they did bring up the fact that there would be enough fuel to begin with, this idea would save them some time and energy to get there. So just to be on the safe side, they brought it up, they explained it, and I was actually glad that they did. They didn't go over the top with it, and they said, okay, here's an idea, is it possible, run the numbers and all that, and they had the guy running the numbers and verifying that it was doable with the time they had. So overall, a very well done idea, and it didn't seem outside the realm of possibility to my eyes. And finally, the one thing that I was kind of hit or miss on, and seemed, I mean, granted, it was one of those things where it was a quick fix and to at least patch up the situations they were in and save some weight on the capsule, was it seems like tarp and duct tape are also the binding and unifying force on Mars. So when the capsule on Mars explodes and Watley has to patch it up, he uses the tarp and duct tape, and it works very, very well and is strong enough to help pressurize the capsule. And then the same thing works on the capsule that he's going to use to launch him into space. So it seemed, I don't know, to me it seemed kind of extraordinary or out of the ordinary that something like that would work. But I guess they made it work. I don't know if it was one of those things where it's a specially designed version of duct tape to make sure that it'll at least hold long enough to get him into space, but I don't know. I was kind of hit or miss on that. It was a good idea. It seemed pretty cool. I was glad it worked, but it seemed kind of out of ordinary for me. So I don't know, just kind of weird there. But overall, the movie was very well done. I very much enjoyed it going into it. The 2 hours and 20 minutes went very, very fast. So basically, I went out of the movie thinking this was done very well. And I want to read the book now, see what the differences are. I think in the book I was reading that he was a physicist, and I forget what his other degree were. Maybe it was botany, but in the movie they only brought up the botany. So, I mean, things like that is probably, can be overlooked. You have to have good enough credentials to go into space to begin with, I'm sure. So, in the end, I actually do want to read the book and get that side of the, or get the source material as well. So with that, I will now jump into this week's TV show review. So this week, The Walking Dead season 6 premiered with first time again. So overall, a slightly differently done episode, or a season episode and premiere for that matter. A lot of back and forth, so I'll jump into that as well. So the release date for Season 6, Episode 1 was October 11th, 2015. Runtime was about 42 to 45 minutes. A summary of the episode is that with Morgan settled in the safe zone, Rick and the others devise a plan to lead a gigantic herd of walkers away from Alexandria, but a new development puts the entire community at risk. So I will preface the review with the new development actually is the Episode 1 cliffhanger, so I will not really, I'll try not to delve into that too much. But overall, the new development about leading the gigantic herd of zombies was done very well, so that'll be part of the review. It had, at last check, it had an IMDb rating of 92%, so very well reviewed. I will generally agree with that. I didn't really have much of an issue with what happened in the episode that I could tell. Overall, the back and forth was done well. It wasn't done overtly. It wasn't done shove it in your face, but they did have, or the way they did it could be perceived that way, but overall done well. So basically, for the first time in 6 seasons, we barely see Carl, and he actually stayed in town, and he didn't really argue or want to do anything. So, when I was finished this episode, I actually was wondering whatever happened to Carl, and I realized I think the only time we see him in the episode was when he's on the roof of one of the houses at night, if I remember, but that is really about it. So, I don't know if that's a good or bad thing, but it was interesting to see that he actually stayed in town and didn't get himself into any new trouble. My other thing was, why not build the fortifications in place of the trucks with one-way doors into the ravine? So, this is kind of building on World War Z, but my whole thing is all the the idea behind this episode is that there's all these zombies who found their way into a ravine, and with all the noise that they're making attracted more zombies, so they all keep falling into the ravine, and whoever put the truck roadblocks into place to keep them blocked in it seemed like a good idea at that time for the few zombies that were there, but now that there's more and more zombies, it's hard to keep them up. And the whole plan that Rick and the others come up with is to build walls to lead them away and out of the ravine into and away from Alexandria. And I got to thinking that instead of building the fortifications to direct the zombies somewhere else, why not keep them in the ravine and build those wall fortifications that are super strong around the ravine, or at least fortify any possible exits and keep them in the ravine, maybe figure out a way to kill them off, or I think one of the podcasts I was listening to, that or something I was reading online, I forget which, said that maybe even burn them, set them on fire, so that, or like do a control burn so that only get rid of as many as you can, or a few of them, but keep enough to that make noise and keep leading them into the ravine so you know they can't get out and you have the fortifications to ensure they stay in there. And finally, how is Morgan doing a better job of getting to Rick in one episode than Father Gabriel is doing in all this time? So one of the things I found interesting was that Morgan and Rick getting to know each other, basically as the title of the episode, this explains for the first time again. And it seems like Morgan is talking or getting to know Rick in a way that maybe because he knows Rick from before he went crazy, that he knows how that Rick is a good person and maybe Father Gabriel does not. But acting under the assumption that Father Gabriel assumes everyone is good, are good people, that why not talk to Rick in this way, at least figure out what his thought process is, motivations, why he's doing what he's doing. And you realize that Rick doesn't want to hurt anybody still, but he also realizes and is conflicted with the idea, in my opinion, that he wants to help people and he has to do what it takes to survive. So it's kind of that balance of living or keeping both, or keeping each foot on each side of the wall. So overall, the episode was very good. I did like the flat way they did the flashbacks. They did, so the present day was done in color, the flashbacks were done in black and white. So you could tell that we were looking at another point in time for all of the flashbacks. And over the course of the episode, you realize that the present day is the execution of the plan, and then the black and white is the planning of the plan and all the steps that you take, the general fallout from Rick having to shoot the guy and going nuts and all of that stuff. So overall, I enjoyed it. It did seem oddly, or not weirdly placed, but oddly slow. So but they did pace it well enough to the point where I enjoyed it, and then the episode went very fast, even with the extra half an hour. So overall, worth seeing and worth continuing to watch this season. For this point of the, at this point in the show, it would help to watch season 5, and of course, to understand season 5, you'll have to go back. So overall, a show worth watching. You would have to be used to or okay with watching zombies. The one caveat I will say for this episode is that the zombies seemed a lot gorier and nastier than usual. So, especially with the one zombie whose skin peeled off when squeezing between the trucks. So, something to get used to a little bit more. It did seem a little bit more gorier this time around. So, just a bit of forewarning there. But if you do watch the first 5 seasons, you should be more or less okay. So definitely worth a watch and a perfect time to catch up on The Walking Dead since Halloween is coming up. So with that, I will jump into this week's Star Wars profile. So considering the duality of things, nature of seeing things that other people don't and doing things other people don't necessarily want to do, I was thinking about who I could or what I could review, and I came up with Sifo Dyas. So if you read the Attack of the Clones novelization or watched the movies, or even watched, I believe, the Star Wars Clone Wars series. Star Wars the Clone Wars series, not the original micro series, but the one after that. We know that Sifo Dyas was a Jedi Master. He was actually a human male from the Cassandran worlds. He was a member of the Jedi High Council, so he did serve with, for example, Yoda and Mace Windu. His general backstory is that he was at the time a leading member of the Jedi High Council, but he was actually removed from the High Council due to his extreme views. So a way to consider this, or at least the way I considered it, was that since Qui-Gon Jinn was not a member of the Jedi Council, but he did have his extreme views on one hand, but he did follow the rules more or less to the best that he could. In this case, Sifo Dyas had his extreme views and couldn't move away from them. So that was the actual reason he was removed from the High Council. But around this time, or shortly thereafter, he was sent on a secret mission by the Chancellor Valorum, to strike a deal with the Pike Syndicate. But in the end, before this could happen, he was diverted by the High Council to Felucia to settle a dispute with local tribes. The problem arose here was that he ended up getting shot down as a hidden job by Count Tyrannus, Count Dooku, and or Count Tyrannus commissioned the Pike Clan to carry out the order, but it was done by him in general because the Sith realized that he had commissioned a clone army and wanted to control the army for themselves and use them to their advantage, as we know by the Republic. So that's half of it stood, but Sifo-Dyas was killed in the process. Unfortunately, his notable force power didn't help him in this regard. His force power, or his power that he was known for, was a power of foresight, so he could see into the future and see things to come. The reason he was exiled from the Jedi, or taken out of the Jedi High Council, or as further explanation for his removal, for his extreme views, was that he foresaw the coming war with the Republic, or within the Republic, and suggested the creation of the army. The High Council rejected it because it was too extreme for the Council, and because they followed the needs of the orders of the Senate, it did require their approval to do something like that. So basically, in short, he commissioned the army in secret on behalf of the Republic and the Senate, so he created fake orders to generate the paperwork he needed to commission the army, and went ahead and did it anyways. Aside from that, that's basically the last we hear of it, because I'm sure Sidious and Tyrannus covered their tracks well enough to ensure that no one found out about the army until the time was right. So that's really all there is about him. Not much as far as his early life, any Padawans or other students he may have had. But a fun fact is that in the original manuscripts for the character of Sifo-Dyas, his name was actually spelled Sidodyas, S-I-D-O-D-Y-A-S. It was supposed to be a play on the name of Sidious, who was supposed to originally have created the Grand Army of the Republic, or the Clone Army of the Republic. But later, because of the typo between the F and the D, the name stood, and they filled in the backstory for Sifo-Dyas later in the Star Wars Clone Wars animated series, and he became the character who created the Grand Army of the Republic. So that's really all there is for that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, want me to follow up on anything or anything like that, you can email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can find all the links and all of that good stuff at patelN01.com. If you like this show and want to find past episodes and more shows like it, visit geek-io.net. And of course, still going on until the end of the year, and quick correction from what I said last week. I did say that the hint for the Easter egg on the website is 1299, but it should actually be 1199, so it's a close enough hint where it should work out. But as I mentioned last week, if for those who find the Easter egg between now and the end of 2015, any commissions earned will be donated to charity, so look out for that. And of course, your hint is still 1199. But that is all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.